Stevie here. Thanks for checking out the audio format of the show. You're about to listen to comedian Chappelle Lacey. My favorite part of his interview was talking about him journaling in Seattle outside of Kurt Cobain's home and all of his various different musical influences. Thanks for tuning in. Peace. Welcome back to another episode of the Stevie Weeby Show. We have a very special guest tonight. Please welcome, on the first time on the podcast, comedian Chappelle Lacey. Thanks for coming, man.
I love it.
Yeah, do you like that?
Yeah, yeah. I love it. I love everything about it.
Thank you. I appreciate it. You're the third Arizonian in 3 weeks.
Oh, hell yeah.
What did Jeremiah do to this thing? I had Deshaun Jordan,
Chandler,
Arizona's finest skater to come out.
Uh-huh.
He almost made the Olympic team. He's going to make the next Olympic skateboarding team. And then I had Jesse Johnson.
Yeah, and then Jetski, vroom, vroom.
And you're from Arizona?
Yeah, born and raised.
Holy moly.
Yeah.
We have a lot. So you're from Mesa?
Mesa.
What high school?
I went to Westwood. I went to three different high schools. I went to Westwood, then I went to Gilbert High,
You went to Gilbert High?
Yeah. And then I went to
my mom's in Gilbert.
Oh yeah, that's right. You told me that.
Near Santan Village.
Was next to that mall.
It's a mall.
Yeah, it's one of the newer malls.
Yeah, it's a newer mall. Shout out to Raising Cane's too. Love Raising Cane's out there. She's near Val Vista.
Yep.
So you're
born and raised. I know all of the greater Phoenix area.
Yeah. So how did someone brought up music because you're in a punk band as well and you do comedy.
Yeah. The punk band's more recently. Yeah.
So how did you get into the scene? Like, people don't realize there are music scenes in Arizona.
Yeah. Growing up, the punk scene in Arizona. Well, that's the thing about Arizona. I tell people, they're like, we appreciate entertainment because like. That's like the biggest thing to do. It's just so fucking hot.
Not only there's a lot of bands that tour and go through Tempe.
Yeah, because they like to tour there because people show up. The cool thing about Arizona is people show up for entertainment because that's like the only thing we could really do.
Yeah.
To escape the heat.
I went to numerous shows when I went to Arizona State.
Okay.
Were
you the Bash on Ash?
No, this is you know where Peta Jungle is.
Yeah, that Peter Apache, Tony,
yeah. There used to be, this is in the 90s.
No, you're good.
Electric Ballroom.
Okay, yeah,
there's
a
spot called Electric Ballroom off Apache Boulevard because my dorm was, I went to Ocotillo off of Apache.
Yeah.
I worked at that IHOP.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. You know, off Apache?
Yeah.
Graveyard shift exactly there. Yeah. And then I'm like, we'd go to, the smoke shop headquarters off Mill or... Mm-hmm.
The HQ?
Yeah. So you know that spot. Okay, thank God. See, so I used to go in there, I'm sober now, but back then we'd go in there to look at the bongs and the pipes and stuff. And then they would have flyers of shows, and I'm like, oh, shit, the Beatnuts are coming into town. Mm-hmm. And then I realized when I was at the show, there would always be an opener that wasn't, on a major label.
And
I realized, I put it together, I'm like, oh, these cats... are local.
Yeah, they're here.
They're local acts. Yeah, and
so I wonder if you probably saw the Gin Blossoms then.
Possibly. No, I've seen Diggable Planets there. I saw the Far Side when they came through.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I mostly went to the underground hip-hop shows.
Okay, so that's where you
Yeah. But no, I like all types of music. So how did you get into music and stuff out there, in high school?
Music. It's
what?
Not?
Yeah, it's going in and out.
It is?
Oh, it is?
Yeah. How about now?
Yeah.
You can hear me now?
Yeah,
I wonder if I should just hold
it. Should you just hold it from the...
Mm-hmm, from the top.
from the top, like I guess.
Like this?
She's saying like this, yeah.
Perfect.
Okay, this is good.
So should he re-ask that question?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Okay, so how did you get into like the music scene or just music in general in Arizona?
I think for me, like, you know, I guess, you know, with music, that's, I don't know, there's just a sound that you hear when you listen to music, and I don't know if people realize, like, I'm a massive nerd for music.
Someone mentioned that. Yeah. So you grew up, like, you're wearing a Black Flag shirt.
Yeah, but that wasn't my earliest discoveries.
Like, what bands were you
early
listening?
Early discoveries were, like, some, you know, I grew up in a hectic home. Mm-hmm. My stepfather, he was crazy, and, like, so, like, it was just a wild, hectic home. Mm-hmm. And the only time I saw my mom, like, extremely happy was when she was listening to music.
Yeah,
she listened to like all that old school R&B and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So like, you know, that's where I started, was mm-hmm. the old school R&B. Then just kept getting deeper. I became a big fan of Snoop Dogg.
Uh-huh.
That was like the one of like the West Coast hip hop.
That
was the one that I actually like really. Yeah. And Ice Cube, and Ice Cube were the ones that I actually like really connected with. Then just the switch of the radio station. I discovered like classic rock, and the first song I heard was of that genre was Mississippi Queen by Mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And so I heard that song, and that just like took me to a new fucking level.
And so you're hella eclectic as far as your musical taste.
Yeah. Most people think it's like, I always explain it like this. I'm like, punk is like my blood, but like, you know, I listen to fucking pretty much everything. Yeah.
So, do you like even like the synth stuff, like do you, like Depeche
Mode,
or New Order,
Joy Division,
OMD, and all that. The 80s.
Yeah, I can get into that. I didn't get heavy into it, but yeah. I can totally.
What about like Fishbone?
Oh, like in the Sky area.
The Specials and the Selector.
Yeah, Mighty Mighty Boston.
Yeah,
Real Big Fish. Like, yeah, all those guys. Yeah.
What about like Modest Mouse and like the Pixies?
Yeah, Modest Mouse. Yeah.
Yeah,
of course, 1,000%, especially with Modest Mouse, like
Lonesome Crowded West.
Yeah,
I can't say it enough.
That's a great one.
If I had one album to put on a desert island, I would definitely.
That's a great.
That's one
very,
of my.
That's a very fair.
I mean,
one.
That's when you know you recorded a good album when you could just listen to it all the time and it doesn't get old.
Lonesome Crowded West.
Cowboy Dan.
Yeah,
Trash.
Come on now.
Yeah.
Convenient Parking.
Yeah.
Styrofoam
the Cockroach
Booze.
Song.
Yeah, doing the Cockroach. Yeah. Yeah. So like. You know, especially with Modest Mouse, like I play a lot of their songs on the guitar. They're like like usually when I pick up a guitar, like it's usually Modest Mouse songs that I start off with.
Yeah. So do you like Built to Spill as well? Like, cause that's like the similar.
Yeah.
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 That one album.
Built to Spill with Afghan Whigs. Where did I see him at? At the Wiltern Theater. It was like the first concert I went to when I moved to L.A.
That's what's
and
up.
I finally saw Built to Spill because I discovered Built to Spill. In 99, and that was through a skate video.
Yeah,
and
that's people don't realize that.
Yeah.
Like that's how I discovered a lot of music like not just hip hop, but just the rock. They would use a lot of Fugazi and stuff like that, and I'm like, oh, who's that?
Yeah.
And then you do your research, you're like, oh, okay.
And it makes you because obviously like you like the skate video, and then you're like, and then the songs are just like make you think of the skate video, and you're just like, I gotta figure out about the songs, and that's how I found out.
What's that album? It has like it's like blue, and it has like the angel.
Does it have a girl on it?
Yeah, it has a girl, and then that's a good one.
Yeah, the
Time Trap song and Else. And all that.
Carry the Zero.
Carry the Zero. Uh-huh. Holy moly, you know your stuff. Yeah, Carry the Zero.
I'm telling
damn
you,
damn good
like
album.
Weird...
Damn good album.
Yeah, that's a great album.
So what about the Pixies? Like,
I
mean, do you look up to them still?
Yeah, Surfer Rosa. That album is like probably like
damn good album.
I love Bone Machine. That's like one of my favorite.
I even
songs.
Like Doolittle. Doolittle was
great.
Yeah. Bossa Nova.
Yeah.
What is it about them that is captivating? Is it the reason why?
Pixies?
Because the way when I listen
it's
to them,
it's simplistic and catchy.
They're like. Even like when you listen to them, you don't know. It makes your mind wander. Like, who are they? But when you see them, you're like, oh, that's him.
Yeah, it's almost like the riffs aren't like too crazy.
Yeah,
but it's very very catchy, and I think it's the way they deliver the sound that makes them catchy.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then the simplicity of it, because, you know, is what makes it like, fuck yeah, it makes you like.
And then you have Joy Santiago.
It's easy to open the door to the Pixies.
Yeah. And then, shout out to Fight Club, because I know that gave him a lot more recognition. Because Where's My Mind?
Where's My Mind?
But the slower version is, the UK version is. There's a slower version. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The B-sides, uh-huh.
Go ahead.
So you grew up in Arizona, so you'd go to local punk shows as well?
All the time.
And there were, like, groups in Arizona, right?
Yeah, a lot of punk groups. And that the thing was, like, you know, that was my, like, once, so, like, I was already a big fan of music, but when I went to my first concert, like, I was like, oh, I'll do this all the time. It's the one I'll always fucking go to concerts. I don't need anybody to go to a concert with. I'll go by myself. It's like my thing.
Right. Did you support the local scene in Tempe or Phoenix? Like, were there local bands and you went to their shows for $5?
All the time. I remember the band I would see the most in the local scene was
shout them out real quick.
Authority Zero. They're still around. Okay. You know, they came on a new record, but they were along the lines of like Pennywise, NoFX. They were part of
that,
like,
skate music too.
Yeah, exactly. So they were totally that era. So I would go see them a lot, you know. But like, I mean, it was just like, yeah, it was the thing to do. It was just like, I would go to, I don't know if you've ever been to the Nile.
Yeah. Oh, I remember the Nile. Yeah. So, like, is that kind of rural, kind of near rural?
So the Nile is in Mesa. Right off Main
Street. I remember now. There used to be a fish and chips place near there.
Yeah, it still is.
You know
it
what I mean? Pete's Fish and Chips.
Yeah.
Because you know how I know that? Is because
I think it's still there. I haven't been there.
We used to skateboard the parking garage there.
It was
like this underground skate spot too.
So that area was like, yes, that area to skate in, that area is like the perfect area to skate.
I went to plenty of shows there.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
The first time I saw Del the Funky Homo Sapien.
Okay.
Was there. And that's when I'm like, oh, this guy, I love, this guy's awesome.
Damn. When was that?
A long
damn.
Time
ago. Wow.
This is 90. I'm dating myself.
Yeah.
This is like 96.
Okay. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, this was, but I know exactly.
It's so
what
crazy because my first concert wasn't till 2000. It was before 9/11.
It was
2000. I remember it was before 9/11.
Yeah, there was back then. It was like there was a whole scene because I went to Arizona State. So when I went on the campus, I'm like, all right, I'm not gonna join that. I'm not gonna join that church group. I'm not gonna do a fraternity. I'm not.
Yeah.
You know, and I was lost.
Uh-huh.
So I'm like, and then I hated my roommate. So I went to the student services center, and I'm like, are there any options as far as housing?
Yeah.
And they go, yeah, well, on the other side of campus, you could get your own room, but it's a smaller. And I'm like, sign me up.
Uh-huh.
So once I did that, I'm like, okay, now I'm on Apache Boulevard. You know, there, I was off university, right? So I was in Manzanita, kind of by the mill side. But then on Apache, I'm like, oh, okay, well, this is.
Did you ever go to Minder Binders?
I've heard of it. That's
I wonder
so
if that
familiar.
Was on Apache, but yeah, there's
Pompeii?
Another.
Pompeii? Does that ring a bell? Pompeii?
A little
Nita's
bit.
Nita's Hideaway?
Nita's Hideaway.
Yeah. Okay, good. Now we're back. Yeah, Nita's Hideaway.
Nita's Hideaway,
yeah,
for
that,
sure.
Yeah, that's the cool thing about Arizona and, like, the local scenes. It would be at, like a small bar or something.
Yeah, that was.
They
that
would
was,
have a night or something.
You would just go to it, and that was the thing. And, you know, shows were very, very cheap, and, I mean, I just appreciated it all. Like, I just wanted to go. There's just something about live shows that I just
appreciated.
No matter what it was. Like, I mean, there was a point in time where it was like strictly punk shows that I was going to, but I mean, I wanted to see it all just because I was just fascinated.
Yeah,
by
the
world
culture.
of the culture,
as well.
Yeah.
Now, where do you purchase your music?
I used to go to this record store. No, I didn't go. Oh, fuck.
I was going to throw Zia.
I did go to Zia Records.
Off university.
Right off
and
the university.
And there's one in Gilbert, too.
There's one in Gilbert. They built quite a few of those
Freedom
in Arizona.
Near Freedom Skate Shop.
Yep,
you know where that is. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See
how
that's
the
right
Arizona connection is just.
Yeah. I know. That's
it just
so,
keeps
yeah,
going.
I know. It
yeah,
keeps
yeah,
going.
Yeah.
And I would also go to this place called Eastside Records that was in Tempe as well. That was by Cowtown Skate Shop, which was by...
So that was by that Circle K. You know,
right by Casey Moore.
Yeah, Casey Moore, yep, but there's a Circle K there.
Yep.
And then Cowtown.
Yep,
and
exactly. So there was the East Side. It was a place
that's right
East
by
Side
Mill,
Records.
Kind of by Mill University. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dude, that area now looks completely fucking different.
Let me tell you something. I was there in the 90s. There used to be a Tower Records.
Yeah.
And Chili's.
Yeah.
There's a Chili's on the corner.
Yeah, they knocked down that right on the corner.
Yeah, on the corner. Mm-hmm. That's gone now?
Yeah, that Chili's is gone. I don't know what it is
now.
There
used to be a Radio Shack in there. Yep. There used to be kind of like a smaller soup plantation spot.
In
like a grocery store, like a little mom and pop, kind of like a small.
Did you ever go to Chuck Box?
I don't think.
Oh, that was right off the
middle. Yeah. Greasy Tony's.
I didn't go to Greasy Tony's. Yeah. Okay, Long Wong's?
Oh, yeah, Long Wong's. Yeah, I worked at Asaki's Sushi off Mill, and I worked at that P.F. Chang's.
You did? Holy shit! Damn.
You know which one.
Yeah,
right.
Wow.
And I worked at that Circle K on Lemon and Terrace.
You worked at that?
Yeah.
Great. What? Management.
Yeah, I did every job there. And not only that, we're gonna get into your comedy, but I also worked at the Tempe Improv.
You did?
And I got fired. I remember the night because one of the Wayans was performing. I got fired that night.
Wow.
Because I got into it with the waitress, because she put the wrong order in.
Oh, were you? Oh, you were.
Chef? I was a food runner.
Food runner.
Yeah, I had to bring out the food. Yeah.
That's super fucking hilarious.
Yeah. So I told the lady, I go, hey, can you make sure you put the right order in? No green onions. And she's just like, is that right? And then at the end of my shift, my manager, Steven, will you walk? Come here, please. I didn't know she was fucking the manager.
Oh.
Yeah. So you see how that works?
Yeah. Does that manager still exist?
Lee. His name was Neil. So
shame
on you, Neil.
I don't know if I knew Neil.
Shame on you, Neil.
I think I started getting up at Tempe Improv and stuff.
Oh, you did
after,
sets there?
Yeah, after Adam.
Okay. So, yeah, that was kind of after.
This podcast is brought to you by MyBookie. The NFL is back in action, and so is the winning season at MyBookie. With over $500,000 in contest prize money, winning season makes the big games better and the victories even sweeter. Here's how it works. Pick 5 games against the spread each week. Each win earns you a point, and each point gets you closer to the grand prize. In order to get you started, make your first deposit at mybookie.ag and use promo code STEVIE. To instantly receive double your deposit, that's double your money to double your winnings with your first deposit using promo code STEVIE. Bet anything, anytime, and anywhere with my bookie.
Yeah.
So when did that's a good segue into the comedy. Like, when did you take an interest in comedy?
Shit, that was kind of a weird thing. Someone just dared me.
What?
Yeah, everyone's like, thinking it's like this like story of like, wanted to do comedy and stuff. Like, no,
like
just someone
like a
dared
dog
me.
Dare?
Yeah, I used to, I'm 8 years off alcohol.
Yeah.
And.
Oh, so you're sober too.
Is it 8 years?
So we have that in common.
No, I smoke a little weed.
Okay.
I hate when people go, that's sober. I go, no, it's not. You know what I mean?
It's harmless. You know.
Yeah, even though it's harmless, but I'm like, I don't want to, I don't know, I feel like it's kind of disrespectful to like people.
Yeah.
So like, I never like
look,
to say.
Look, I'm sober. I don't promote what I'm a part of. You know what I mean? They just know, okay.
Exactly. Yeah. That's why I'm like, when people say that, I go, eh.
No, but you can do a lot of creative shit on weed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think it was, it was 2010. I started, someone dared me because I used to be the kind of drunk that would get drunk and I'd be like, say I won't do something. And people would be like, you won't. And I'm like, okay, watch me. And I'd do the damn thing that people said I wouldn't do. And that's how I got into comedy.
Like, you were at an open mic? Like, what happened?
No, I was, where the fuck? I just know that's how I got in, but I was drunk.
Yeah.
I just know that much. And then I was like,
in Arizona.
But I wasn't drunk and got on stage. I was drunk. Someone said I wouldn't. And then I went and studied comedy for like 2 months.
Yeah. Like, what were you doing during that time?
Old specials? No. Yeah. I just looked up all, like, any and everything. Like, YouTube was popping, starting to pop. And so there was a bunch of videos on YouTube. I watched that. Then I started watching Comedy Central. I watched everything because I didn't know anything. Only thing I knew about comedy was Eddie Murphy Raw, Killing Him Softly, and Kings of Comedy. Right. But I didn't know anything else other than that.
Those are some good ones.
And also, I didn't know that like anyone could do comedy.
I thought it was for them.
I was like, oh, they're in movies, they're on TV shows.
Right.
Like that's for them.
That's for them. And
exactly.
Not for me.
Exactly.
When did you realize, oh, this is for me too?
That probably took a little bit too.
Yeah, it took a little. Okay, so what was your first experience like? Did you hit an open mic? Like, what was that experience?
I hit an open mic, and I remember I tried to get drunk to, like, you know, go up there.
Oh, Liquid Courage.
Yeah. But literally, I was so nervous that the alcohol, like, no matter how much I drank,
a couple Heinekens and
couldn't even, it didn't do anything.
So where was it, in Arizona?
No, this was in Louisville, Kentucky. When I was living in Kentucky,
you hit a mic there?
So yeah, I don't know. I was competitive. I was a cheerleader.
In Kentucky?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
At the university, I cheered at University of Louisville.
So you threw him in the air?
Yeah, I started cheerleading at 15.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, I was the punk rock cheerleader.
Yeah. Okay, cool. I didn't know that about your story. That's cool.
Yeah.
So you went back home to Kentucky to do it?
Yeah, so like, yeah, when I graduated high school, I cheered at a junior college in Texas. Then I went on to the University
of Kentucky?
Louisville, Kentucky. Yeah.
And then
I dropped out to do comedy.
And then there was, did you just... like research an open mic scene or?
Yeah, I just researched. I said open.
At a coffee shop?
It was like stand-up comedy open mic. And it was this club called Comedy Caravan. It's called something different now, but it's still there out on Bardstown Road. Shout out to Bardstown Road.
Yeah, shout out to, what's the name of the spot too?
I don't know. They changed the name, but it was Comedy Caravan. But shout out to that place. But yeah, that was the first time I ever went up.
3 minute set?
Was it 3 minute? It was either 3 to 5 minute. Set. I remember that.
Yeah.
And I remember after that, I was like, when I got off stage that night, I looked at myself and I go, you studied harder for that than you ever have in school.
With that?
Yeah. So
because
I was like,
you cared about it.
Yeah. So I was like, why the fuck would I continue to do school?
Oh, right.
Yeah, so I was like, I'm dropping out.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm dropping the fuck out.
That was a wise decision.
Oh, fuck yeah. Best decision I ever made.
Yeah, so you did
I was like, I'm dropping out. Like, listen, I'm done.
So how far did you make in college?
So, oddly enough, I got kicked off. I didn't get kicked off. I wasn't allowed to try out at the junior college I went to again because I got in trouble and got real drunk at a competition.
Yeah,
whatever.
Yeah,
I could get drunk and fucking cheer. You know what I mean?
Things happen.
That was my thing, but but the University of Louisville at the time had this program where you could go to the junior college out there and cheer for the university. It was like a transfer.
Oh, it was
program.
A program.
Yeah, it was a transfer program that
oh,
you were allowed
cool.
to do. So yeah, I don't think they do it anymore. But yeah, that's how I was able to do that.
Oh, because you're doing the junior college and then you're able to do it.
Yeah,
because
I didn't finish junior college, but I was like, okay. I was like, I don't have that many credits left.
Yeah.
I was like, let me do this junior college thing and eventually just transfer to university.
I mean, dude, that you save money that way.
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck am I doing?
Look, ASU, I still don't know what I did there. 8 years on their campus. It became like Groundhog Day.
Oh, gosh.
I lived in almost every single dorm.
That's fucking funny. Now them dorms are nice as fuck now.
Yeah, I went back.
You drive by.
Yeah, I didn't recognize any of that. There was a river there.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
I was like,
these are dorms?
Yeah. How good is that flavor LaCroix?
Oh, it's fucking great.
It's good, right?
Yeah, sponsor this podcast, by the way.
So,
stop fucking around LaCroix.
Let me shout out to LaCroix real quick. If you're watching LaCroix, I could use a sponsorship.
Yeah.
Even if you send me cases of this, I'll shout you out.
Yeah, do it.
Yeah.
Something.
Yeah. So would you say I like doing this, like giving, like, cause there's a person that might watch this. They look up to you. They might have seen you.
People
perform.
Look up to me. Oh.
Yeah. Well, you're doing well now with the comedy and the music. What would you tell?
That's terrifying.
If a kid's in school, right,
you know
now,
how much pressure that is as a fucking human.
There's like five people that will be watching. Oh, no, I'm just kidding. But what kind of advice would you give them if they don't know exactly what they're doing? And they feel like college is not the right choice for them.
Oh, I was going to say something stupid. Like, follow your heart.
Think about it.
Just be honest with yourself.
Right.
Honestly, be honest with yourself. You have to, because you know what, like, most people that go to college, you know, well, I won't say that. Let me, most of my friends that have gone to college and
got
shit,
degrees,
and got degrees, you know,
they're still looking for jobs.
Still looking for jobs. And if they have a job, they don't fuck with the job that they fucking got. So it's like, they're just miserable. And I'm like, I hate talking to you. You know what I mean? Hate talking to my friends.
That's real, dude.
Because they're just miserable about their life. They don't want to do that job, but they just know how to do it because that's what they went to school to do. But, like, people have this fucking fear, man. And I think, you know.
What do you think that is? Do you think that's stemming from, like, it's a self-centered fear, but do you think it's, like, they don't want to fail?
Yeah.
Or they're scared to roll the dice?
No, security. Security.
Right, because if you get the degree, then you can get the job.
I think it's a security thing. Yeah. Like, I always tell people like this, like with comedy and shit. Like, I go, every day I'm rolling the fucking dice. Because, okay, think of it like this. When I worked, before I went full time comedy, right? I knew, like, I worked in hotels, okay?
Oh, you did?
Yeah. And I knew when my shift was. I knew what days I was working. I knew when I was getting my paycheck. I knew what time I went in, what time I was off. I got, like, all that
structured
stuff was guaranteed.
It was structured.
Whereas, like, comedy, you just fucking, for a long time, you're really just fucking rolling the dice every day.
You don't know.
You know, you're constantly just playing
chess,
trying to figure shit out to make sure you do have a job and you are working and you are getting gigs.
That's a crazy way to look at it. So
that's how I explain it to people because it's like, but you know what? I'm a lot more happy.
The payout is
great, but I'm just so fucking happy.
You made the right choice.
Oh, fuck yeah.
I mean, right? Hands
but
down.
But I've always been that kind of person to go and do things, whatever. I've always been a person and I'm not one of those people where, like, anyone's ever tried to, like, stop me from, like, doing something. I've always done whatever the fuck I want.
So that's good. I mean, what do your folks think? I mean, that you made that. I mean, they see you on these podcasts.
They're just like, because I think, you know, because I have a weird story. Like, in my teens, I was adopted into a white family.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So, like, and then
how
obviously.
How old were you?
Shit.
When that went down?
Oh, man. They started taking care of me when I was like 15, you know.
Oh, okay.
But then I fully moved in with them when I was like 17 or 18, something like
Damn,
that.
What was that experience like, man? Like,
I mean, it's different, especially when you come from a hectic home, and their home was like not like that. It was very nurturing and loving. Yeah. You know what I mean?
So they were the opposite of what you're used to.
Complete fucking opposite.
So they had meals.
It was weird. Like, I had my own room, which was like kind of weird. Like, all that shit.
Your own bed, your own room, your own desk.
Yeah, like shit like that was like fucking weird to me. Yeah. I was just like, what the fuck? And the whole nurturing thing. Even still to this day, nurturing is still like. I've gotten better at it.
Yeah.
You know, but like for the longest time, it was very, very fucking tough.
It was tough. So, like, do you still keep in touch with your
both
sides?
Yeah. I'm even cool with my stepfather, who was like, I mean, yeah, he was crazy and abusive, but fucking okay.
Oh, so abusive, cool. like beatdowns?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, me, my dad passed
in
2019.
Yeah.
And I had to do some work as far as, you know, because he's gone now, and I saw him pass, but when we were growing up
in
the household, he was highly abused. Like,
he was tough.
Like, he beat me with a keyboard once.
You know
what I mean? We're butt naked.
Uh-huh.
You didn't want to wake the dude up when he was
sleeping.
Yeah,
don't wake daddy.
Yeah. Or if you even looked at him wrong.
Uh-huh.
Like, if I look, like, just side glance, he's like, huh?
Yeah.
And then he would, you know.
See, same, yeah.
So did you deal with stuff like that?
Fuck yeah.
No, like beatdowns.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Abuse. Yeah. Hits. Boom, motherfucker. Yeah. Yeah, but you.
We're not talking about, like, Tommy timeout.
Yeah, no.
No, this ain't the Tommy timeout. This
you know,
is like,
Tommy,
you're going to bleed or it's going to be tears on
he
this.
He socked me in my fucking
blood.
Jaw. Yeah.
Yeah, like real beatdowns.
Yo, oh, yeah. Like, yeah, I remember one time I got home.
How old were you? Give us a context.
Shit, I was in junior high.
Yeah, that's when I got.
I was in junior high.
That's weird.
And
you said,
I remember that because I was scared. And I remember I came home. I think I came home late. And honestly, it was the first time I got drunk, and they didn't know I was drunk. Wild turkey, baby.
Oh, yeah.
But
Oh, I got a story.
But I remember
stealing dad's beers.
Yeah, I was drunk, and I just remember like he was like yelling at me, and I was just had my head down as he was like listen. And then he just came up and just fucking.
Oh, full-on, full-fledged, closed fist.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I ate that shit, motherfucker.
Wait.
No, just kidding.
On your face?
Yeah, busted my lip.
Holy.
But you know what, man? Let me tell you something. I know that's crazy.
Well, nowadays, I mean, because we're in a different world now.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, I don't know if you could do that shit now.
I mean, there's probably parents that still do it.
I mean, the kid will get on his iPad and go, oh, you want to mess with me?
But, like, my thing
Child's
is...
Protective services. Oh,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
These fucking kids got a button now. They got a website.
Yeah.
They got an iPad they could go on and fucking.
Yeah.
But for me, listen, I know it's crazy, people may be mad at the dude, but I do not dislike my stepfather at all.
No, it's all love.
No.
And I forgave my father.
But whenever I talk about it, people think it's like a thing of I should hate him. I go, why? He didn't take anything from me.
You know,
like I didn't fucking. What did I lose?
Not only that, in their minds, because I thought of it like this. It's like, well, dude, this cat's working 3 shifts. He's driving from Riverside back, going to Mira Mesa.
Oh shit, my stepfather didn't have no job. he just had a bunch of uniforms, dog.
Either situation, it's out of frustration.
Yeah.
They're just pissed off, right?
But also, yeah. At the same time, like I took a look at his life and like what he went through. Yeah, it does. I'm not trying to make an excuse for what he did, but like the situation at hand, I see it as like I was in a battle that I eventually won, you know what I mean? But I don't think he ever took anything from me. I don't want to like fucking cancel him.
We're just talking in passing.
I think the better fucking story is the fact that I am cool with him. That's the better fucking
not
story.
Not only that, let me add to that.
Go ahead.
Is you found your own way. You're finding your own lane.
Yeah.
And he's got to be, both parties has got to be proud as hell.
Yeah.
Like, oh, dude, he found his own lane.
He's doing what he wants. I'm proud of him and the fact that we are cool.
Yeah.
That's fucking amazing.
You know one thing?
You know what I mean?
Yeah, actually, it's like...
Did you go through
counseling to get to that? How'd you get to that point?
I had three different anger management teachers.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, what was cool about anger management...
I had a therapist, too. Shout out to Dr. Troy. I forget his first name.
It was so long ago. It was in high school, but he was at Westwood.
Shout out to Dr. Brian Troy. Yeah.
I had Miss Berry. Shout out to Miss Berry.
It helps.
At Trinity Valley.
It helps.
Shout out to my boy Chip Chilton.
Yeah.
Forever, you know, like those people, you know, have my fucking heart. But you know, the unique thing about anger management is they never let me talk bad about my stepfather, and they didn't talk bad about my stepfather.
Oh, okay.
They didn't even make it about him. You know, when I took those classes, they go, okay, this is what happened to you. Cool. Now that we understand that, here's what we're going to do.
Solution.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So it was all solution.
And maybe
we're not going to talk bad about him.
There's no victimization.
Like,
yeah.
Because
no, yeah.
I remember I remember, shout out to Chip. We were talking and I was like, yeah, man, I don't really have a lot of confidence in myself because the way my stepfather treated me.
Yeah.
And he like laughed. He was like, what? The fuck? What are you talking about?
Yeah.
And he was like, it's your confidence. He was like, you realize he never took anything away from you. You had your confidence the whole time. You just had to find it.
Right.
It's always been yours. It's still your confidence.
Right. You were just young at the time.
Yeah, and you grew into that.
Said,
and I didn't get that at first, but as I got older, I was like, fuck, that makes so much sense.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I know, like, when people feel like they are wronged or anything like that, the person that, you know, who wronged you or anything like that, and this is me reading all these fucking stoicism
books. No, this is good stuff. No, keep going.
Those people never take anything away from you.
Right.
You decide to give them the power. Yeah, like because if he took something away from me, then he has the power.
Or if he,
you know what I mean,
if
like
he permanently did something to your
face.
And
I'm not saying everybody has to think like this. This is what I found.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Everyone reacts to their shit differently. You know, but I just know if I acted if I just continue to act crazy, then it's like, oh, I'm doing exactly
what
my stepfather would do.
Right, you're repeating the process.
That's how you. But if I took it as like, hey, you know what, man? That was some shit that happened.
Exactly.
If I take it as that, then I have all the power.
Yeah, exactly.
Fact that I can sit there and say,
there's nothing wrong. Yeah.
We're cool.
Not only that, it's like there's nothing that comes positively from resentment, you know?
No.
My God.
When I was resenting him.
But it's the only thing that eats its own container, right?
Oh, fuck
that,
yeah.
That's the saying, right? Resentment's the only thing that could eat its own container.
Yeah.
So it's like, basically, you're just drinking your own poison.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, that was like, there's the poison thing. Yeah. It's like, you know, resentment against someone is like, you know, trying to poison them, but you're the one drinking the poison.
And you're drinking the poison. Yeah.
That's
so, like,
exactly
going back
like
to my pops, it's like, okay, that happened. Now I realize that it's just something that happened. He was hella stressed during that time.
Yeah.
You know, mortgages, car payment. You know, I don't know. I didn't know any of that.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, okay, cool.
Mm-hmm.
I'm never going to do that.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
If anything, I would just say, and just leave.
Yeah.
And then I come back.
Exit the situation.
And then I would like do a voice memo to like get all my thoughts out. And then I would go back. If I had a kid, then I'd be like, all right, well, this is the reasons why I'm mad. Mm-hmm. You did this. And I'm going through this.
Like, I've gotten really good at taking myself out of chaos
and
dissecting things for myself to understand it, what it means for me and how much does it really affect me.
Right,
you know what I mean? Like,
right.
Like, especially like in the world of today, like when you look at shit online and like blah blah blah, it can get you riled up.
Yeah,
but if you just step out and like, you know, understand that it's there
because
it's always like that kind of shit is always going to be there.
You just understand it, you just fucking triggered a thought because I just read an article. Didn't like recently someone pass a comic and I think his name's something Kwan or
Fu Kwan.
Didn't that just happen?
Yeah. So
rest in peace.
Rest in peace to Fu Kwan.
Like, so what happened? I heard they were at a Venice party.
They took coke that was
and
laced,
then
with,
laced
fentanyl.
With fentanyl.
Yeah.
And three
died. One's just in the hospital.
And that one's her.
Kate Quigley. Yeah.
So, I mean, what are your thoughts? I'm sorry to switch
topics
so fast, but
no,
I had
good.
Just read that, and I saw it on Instagram,
yeah.
and I'm like, dude, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Because you know, that fentanyl, that now cocaine's mixed with it.
Yeah.
And they just were at a party.
Yeah.
And they just got a bad dosage.
Well, it's sad, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I lost my brother to drugs in 2013.
Oh, dude.
You know, he OD'd. And, you know, like people, you know, tend to like want to like judge, you know, these people for their actions. But, man, I mean, to me, it's a true demon. And, you know, people are trying to fight that is very, very fucking tough. You know what I mean?
Right, for
someone that doesn't do that, it's easy for those people to go, why the fuck would you do that? You know,
it's easy. But in their heads, they're probably drinking beers, and they're like, I'll do a line.
And that was the thing with my brother, you know, when I got, like, his, you know, results back, they were like, it just seemed like he was just having a night, and this was the night that.
Well, the autopsy are just like.
Yeah,
toxicologist.
Yeah, toxicology report.
Okay, so
you
got that information.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was just a night out.
It was just a night, yeah. And then that like. But, you know, I don't know, it's weird, like I just always feel for anyone like that that's going through that kind of stuff, because, like, I mean, you know, I remember someone asked me, they're like, are you mad at your brother, you know, for
yeah,
for
what, I mean, like, since you brought it up, because I didn't know that.
No.
Like, how did you, because I have an older brother, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and I can't even imagine like how I would cope with that.
And, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, it's tough. I mean, you know,
I would
especially
probably go to a dark place, dude. Like, I don't know. I might.
Oh, I fucking did.
Oh, so you're.
Oh, fuck. Yeah.
Oh,
no, I did.
Okay,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God.
So you
did
went through anger. You went through all of the emotions.
Yeah.
So when you initially found out, you're like, fuck.
Yeah.
You're pissed off.
No, I wasn't pissed. I was just
sad as hell.
Yeah, because he was the most, you know.
You guys were close.
Yeah, super close. Yeah. You know?
Your only brother?
My only full-blooded sibling. All my other siblings are half. Oldest. Yeah, he was older. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, like, that what made that tough, he was, like, probably one of the more significant people, like, the most significant person in my life, because we went through that shit together.
Right.
With our stepfather. You know, we went through that shit together, you know.
That experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The fact that our biological father, you know, was locked up in prison. You know, like, we had these, you know, certain experiences that we went through together that made us, like, very, very close.
Yeah.
You know, and he was like, a protector of mine.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, when I lost him, it was just like, you know, what the fuck is life?
Right.
You know what I mean? What the fuck am I supposed to do?
You questioned, like, you went through all that.
Yeah, I went through all of it, man. I went through all those emotions. I remember, yeah, I stopped doing comedy. I stopped doing comedy for, like...
Well, rightfully so, dude. You probably needed a break.
Yeah, because I didn't know if I would ever get back on stage either. Because I was like, why the fuck... I don't want to make anyone laugh. I was like, I'm not happy. Like, did you leave?
Did you just get the hell out of Dodge? And did you just...
Man, you know what? My
idea...
You just
bolt somewhere?
I wanted to, like, move to a town that was small.
Like a small town.
I'll work a regular 9-to-5, and that would be it.
That's what your mind
went
to?
That's where I wanted to go to. I wanted to fucking leave.
Just a simple life.
Yep.
That's where your mind went. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to go back to Kentucky and just get
or somewhere, somewhere in a small town where it's just like...
Where you won't get noticed.
Or anything like... Well, I wasn't anything with comedy like at that point. But I just like... I didn't want to be around people. I didn't want to get close to people because I felt like... It was like, because that hurt so bad.
Right.
You know what I mean? That I was like, I don't want to,
like a reminder. Like, you didn't want to be reminded of that.
Yeah, there was much to it that I was just like, fuck that, man. You know what I mean? I was like, I was ready to, like, move to, but then, you know.
Yeah, how'd you turn it around? Like, do you think time mended it?
No, I just started, oddly enough, so, people think I'm crazy for this. But so my brother made me the beneficiary on his life insurance.
Okay.
So I got like, I don't remember, it was like 75 grand.
Damn.
And I remember I hated having that money. Hated it. Did not like it.
Yeah, because people think that, you know, like.
Couldn't take it.
You know, I'm just saying on paper it sounds right. Like,
Yeah, it sounds right.
But like. When it actually happens, it's a whole different story, isn't it?
A whole different fucking story. I remember thinking, I was like, okay, so basically with that 75 grand, I started helping people.
Okay.
I just started helping anybody. Yeah. And not even like in a forceful way, but if just someone, if I just noticed that someone needed something, I just help them with it, with that money.
Right.
You know, I was just like, I would just help them.
Probably did
just,
the right thing. That's
because I was
right
like, because I was like, I was like, I can get 75 grand again.
Oh,
but I was like,
yeah.
I can't get my brother back.
What you're doing now. Yeah, dude.
But I was like, I can't get my brother back.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, I can get 75 grand? Easy.
Right.
Not
right,
easy,
right.
But
yeah.
Like,
no, I know you can do it.
I'm making it seem like it's easy.
No, I know you can do it.
You know what
it.
I mean?
Yeah,
but like,
yeah.
You know, like, I was like, I could get that back, but I can't get my brother back. That's fucking, you know.
Yeah.
That, I was like, that's a very definite thing. So, you know, with helping people, I just started feeling better.
So you're being a service to other people.
Yeah. And it wasn't like...
Dude, good for you, man.
It wasn't like I was like, you know, going, yeah. Oh, if I do this for people, I'm going to feel
no,
better.
No. You're
There's
doing
a lot
it.
Of shit I've done for people that will
right.
go, that will forever go unnoticed. Because...
That happens, too. That happens, too.
I'd rather be that way because, you know, I guess I'm not a person that... is it fucking up? Oh, okay. Let's try it again. How is it?
Oh,
that thing. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Found it.
Oh, okay.
You got
the sweet spot again?
Yeah.
And we're back.
what was I saying? I was
talking
about
you're talking
people.
About helping people, and then, like, sometimes you won't see.
Oh, yeah. Which,
because,
like, I'm not a person that wants to boast about that because.
No, you
like,
don't boast about
because
it.
Because it's like, why did I help that person in the first place then? Was it to boast about it?
No, it's just then like, it's, then, you just then, felt like doing
then
it.
Then it loses all authenticity.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think that's even, it's worse if like, it's like someone like a millionaire giving like a homeless person money and like filming it and telling the whole, hey, look what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I'm a good person. I'm giving this person a $100 bill.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, dude, that's
just
like.
Just do it. Just do it.
If it's real. You'll do that when no one's around. When no one's You'll around. Do it in an alleyway. You know what I mean? Some alleyway, like, here you go.
Yeah.
Like, no one's around.
Because I'll tell you what, like, you'll get that feeling by just doing it. You'll
right,
get
that feeling.
I don't know if people are looking for it or whatever, but, like, there's a feeling that will be delivered to you that'll hit you in a way where you're kind of like, oh, shit. Yeah, like, damn. And it just makes you want to continue to do that.
Right, right. And so that helped.
Yeah.
And so
and that's how I did. That's how I started. That's what made me start climbing out of my depression.
Right.
Because otherwise I was just kind of sitting in it. Did
you dive into like any drugs or like
alcohol?
No, nothing harder than
that.
I didn't want to
fuck with that shit.
Because I'd probably do a peyote ritual. I would just do God. You'd see me in Honduras or something.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Like, hey, where's Steve at? I don't know, man. I just
with a shaman.
I know he had
there's
a plane ticket to Honduras, and he joined this tribe, and I think he's doing DMT for a month straight.
You know what? You want to know something crazy about?
You mess with
I
that?
Just thought about that when I was depressed.
Yeah.
You know, so I was coaching cheer camps, and I remember I went to Seattle. And the cheer camps were like at like night, like 7 p.m. or whatever.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And, you know, so during the day, I just had a whole day to myself.
Just to chill?
Just to chill.
Yeah.
And you know what? I would go journal outside of Kurt Cobain's house. There's this.
Damn, that's crazy.
If
you
you're looking
that,
at the house, if you're looking at the house to the left, there's a memorial bench right there that says
man,
Kurt
that was a special person, man.
And so I would sit there and I would journal right there for hours. And it'd be gloomy. I never saw the sun.
There's something about that guy, man. There's something real special about that guy, man. I don't know what it is. I mean, obviously the brilliant songwriting.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. But I think it's deeper than that.
There's something else. Exactly.
Yeah,
there's
something
else more like he's this. I don't know. Like, what's
know
the word? It's
either.
Some angelic or some entity.
Something.
You know,
like
if
entity,
you were in the forest and you saw an elf, like, oh, dude, that's an elf. Like, something special.
Yeah, something special.
Like, he's got that.
Yeah, and
like,
so,
that
like,
special quality.
That's so funny you say that, but because that's what, like, that's what I felt when I was out there. I was just, like, journaling, and, like, it made me, like, journaling at that. You know, at his outside of his like at that memorial bench, made me let out so much and be so honest. The probably the most honest I ever
was.
Been.
It just like a diary log.
I would just start writing. Yeah.
Wait, so it was your diary.
Yeah. I still journal. I have like a fucking crate full of journals. Like
so, dude, that's a good thing to do. So, dude. Somehow, ironically, can get bits out of that. I mean,
you
never know.
Majority of the shit I talk about comes
autobiographical.
From I'm not writing it as a joke.
No. I know your intention's not that. Your intention is like, I'm getting this off my chest.
Yeah, and then I go, ooh, that's funny.
Yeah, right. You know what's weird is like, there's motherfuckers out there that they're so about Kurt Cobain, they'll like stay at the same hotels.
Yeah, I don't do all that.
Motel, you know, and then they'll stay in the room. And they'll probably journal there.
The reason why I did that is because, you know, I'm such a grunge geek that when I went to Seattle and I like his where I was staying, the hotel that the company had put me up in was not too far. It was like 15 minutes from Kurt Cobain's house.
Yeah, and then
And then before I went to Seattle and I knew
that
how long
Olympia?
I was going to
be there. That's Washington, right? Is that Olympia or Seattle?
No, there's Lake Washington.
Right.
But I made a grunge playlist.
Cool.
Before I went to Seattle because I had never been to Seattle and I think I spent like a month there or whatever. Yeah.
Do you like Seattle?
Oh, Washington? I loved it. I love it. Yeah. I loved it so much.
You like
it was
Washington.
Something. Yeah, it was something about it that was just dope. And
you know,
like I got a good like
vibe,
solid feel of like, oh, this is why they make the music. This is why it sounds the way.
Oh, it made
it sounds.
Sense to you.
Oh, the whole, all of it.
What is it? Is it the weather? Like, because it rains, it rains and stuff there too, right?
Yeah, yeah. I never, dude. I didn't see the sun one time.
Did you see that? did you see that movie? It was years ago. Directed by Gus Van Sant. Last Days. Well, it's about Kurt Cobain's last days on Earth.
Is it, wait, which one is that one?
It's Gus Van Sant's the director. It's a long years ago.
Okay, no,
but
no,
it's interesting because.
Yeah.
Because it shows him during his last days, and I don't know how accurate it is, but it. Correct me if I'm wrong. Did he like stay at this house and then like in the cut, and he was kind of like being a hermit? There's people around him, but he was kind of kept to himself.
Yeah, it was something about like he was at a rehab center in California.
Yeah,
left the rehab center, went home.
But then he was isolating that house.
Yeah, but in the greenhouse or what the
greenhouse. There's a guest house where supposedly he blew his brains out.
They tore that down.
Right.
Yeah, so that the whoever lives there now tore that house down.
Yeah.
Or tore that part of the house down.
So do you
think it
was a dark movie,
those homes in that area, I was like, God damn.
Haunted, huh?
No, it's just they're really nice.
I thought you meant haunted.
No.
I'm sure there's a lot of history there as well, right? That type of architecture and structure of the houses. Yeah, that's so crazy. So like when as far as your comedy, like when did you cause you're in a whole different spot now. Like I was just at Thick Boy Studios, I was there, and then you're doing a podcast, Fighter and the Kid now, with Brandon and Brian. Like, how did you, when did you decide, I'm going to go to, move to LA and pursue it even harder?
There was quite a few cats that, because I was just working my ass off, and, there were some cats from out here
that
basically,
you?
Yeah, encouraged that, and, I also, like, felt like I was getting bored in Arizona with comedy because you can only go so far. And then I was like, man, I need to fucking leave.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just fucking, I remember it was just like a random decision. And
was Jesse involved? Like
Jesse was involved.
Yeah.
Cause she,
how did y'all link up? Just real quick. Like, how did you guys link up?
We still don't know our origin story, but we just know, cause I think it's just, we don't know exactly how
so
we
crazy.
Met.
Just you guys.
Yeah. And then
it happened.
Yeah. And then she texted me. She was like, hey, we have a room.
She did that.
And, yeah. And, cause she was already out here.
Shout out to Jesse.
Shout out to Jesse all the way.
Yeah.
She was like, hey, we have a open room at our apartment. You know, if you want to take it, here's how much it is, blah, blah, blah. And then I remember that was made. That's like, for some reason, that being delivered to me made me go, do it.
That was a sign.
That was a sign.
From the universe.
Yeah.
This is your ticket.
Yep. And I fucking said, all right.
And this is in Hollywood somewhere? Or?
Yeah, right in Hollywood. Not too far from here.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Right up on, it was up on, what the hell was that?
Cahuenga or something?
No, it was on.
Argyle, maybe? Whitley?
Western and like in between Melrose and Santa Monica.
Okay.
Yeah, so just back that way.
Yeah, not too far away.
Yeah, not too far away at all.
And so that was the starting point. And then when did you, like, get in with, like, going to the Comedy Store, Laugh Factory, and improv? Like, when did you start doing that?
That was a, that's kind of a
It's already time passed? It flew by, bro. You got to do part two, three.
I'll tell you that one because it's a very unique and cool story. So, I think it was my third week of living in L.A., and I would go and sit and watch the Potluck, which was every Mondays at the Comedy Store.
Just
and
watch?
Yeah, I would sign up, but, like, I wasn't getting up.
Yeah.
And so I would sit there, but I would still watch.
Mm-hmm.
Just in case, like, because I would watch because
someone
I
drops
was,
out, maybe?
No, I'd watch based on, like, because I was like, okay, let me see. Just, I wanted to see.
Just scoping out their styles?
Yeah, and then it's like, so when I got my chance, I would know how to execute on that stage.
Because you only get 3 minutes,
three
right?
3 minutes,
yeah,
yes.
Right.
And then Adam Egitt, who's the talent coordinator at the time, I saw him sitting there, and I didn't know who he was, but I was like, damn, that dude has a Sonic Youth patch. And I went up to him. I was like, hey, man. I was like, I'm a big Sonic Youth man.
You just shot the shit with them not
knowing
who he was.
Yeah, I was like, bro, Washing Machine's my favorite album. Like, you know, this is up.
It was anti-opportunistic. It was not opportunistic.
Yeah.
It was organic.
Yeah, and he was like, hey, he goes, oh, hell yeah. And he was like, he goes, what's your name? I was like, my name's Chappelle Lacey. He goes, I'm Adam Egitt. I'm the talent coordinator here. And I was like, cool, man. All right. Well, I was like, have a good one. Because we don't have that back home. We don't have like a talent coordinator.
Yeah, right, right.
So I didn't know what that
was. You didn't even know what that meant.
No, fuck no.
You were just like, I like your patch.
Yeah, I was like, fuck yeah, man.
Right, right, right.
All
right,
well, yeah, good to see you, brother. Yeah, yeah.
So you're just cool.
I like your place, man. Yeah,
yeah. It was just cool interaction.
Yeah, and then I want to say later that week, I saw him again. The guy in the vest with all the band patches. And I was like, yo, man, do you like this band? We just started talking bands. And I was like, well, you know, just going off about bands. And then he had an Iggy Pop patch on one of his vests.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, man, I have Raw Power tattooed on my neck.
Right.
And he was like, what? And I was like, yeah. And I showed him or whatever. He goes, where'd you say you're from? What's your name? He said, where'd you say you're from? Or when right. I was like, oh, I'm from Arizona, man. You know, I'm originally from Arizona. He goes, dude, I used to work at the Tempe Improv for years. And I was like, oh, shit. I was like, man, you might know my boy, Casey Curry. He goes, of course I know Casey.
What a small world.
He was like, hey, man, he goes, I don't have any spots this week. He goes, why don't you come by Monday and I'll give you a shot or whatever. And I was like, hell yeah, man, cool.
Oh, wow.
But I didn't think of it as like.
No, it was organic. You know,
I was like,
yeah.
Fuck yeah, let's do it, man. And then I remember going there that Monday, and I even then I was still trying to talk to him about bands. I was like, "Yo, dude, you listen to such and such." Yeah. And then he was like, "Yeah, yeah, man." He goes, "You're about to go up," and I was like, "Oh, hell yeah, cool." He was like, "All right." He goes, "Yeah, give you 3 minutes. I just want you to go up there, have fun." I said, like, "Hell yeah, cool." And then went up there, did really really good.
Yeah.
And then as I'm walking out, I was like, "All right, man, you know." Hey, you have a good one. He's like, no, where are you going? And I was like, what? He goes, man, look, come here. And he was like, it was really good. I was like, oh, hell yeah.
Oh, so he gave you feedback.
Yes. And he goes, I want you to come back. Yeah. That's how that happened. That's how I started meeting like everybody.
So I'm taking it. You're just being yourself.
Yeah.
Right. That's the moral of the story.
What's funny about this fucking story is people would all the time. I remember growing up and people making fun of the black kid that listened to punk rock, that skated and all this shit.
Oh no, like, that's the coolest.
But my music interest.
No, that's the coolest thing.
That's what I'm saying.
That's the coolest thing ever.
That's what's funny. That's like fast forward to now, and it's like the people that made fun of me about that shit, blah blah blah.
Nah.
Look what me listening
no,
to my
that's
fucking
the cool
music.
Shit. No, that's the cool shit, dude. Yeah. Don't leave me hanging. That's the cool shit.
So it's kind of funny, dude. But you know.
And they skateboard, and on top of that, they skateboard.
Yeah.
Dude, that's
yeah.
Dude, just put them on top of the mountain, dude.
Yeah.
That's it for me.
It was great.
There's a lot of hidden talent in Arizona, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You want to know why? Because Arizona's fucking boring. So
and they put their heart into it. You know what I'm saying? They put their heart into
it
if they do anything.
Because it's like, what else am I going to do? Fucking.
Yeah. Wait. I don't want to skip this. But then how did you get into the podcasting thing? Because I don't want to leave that out.
Oh.
Because you're on one of the biggest podcasts out there.
That was because of Brendan.
So how did you link up with Brendan to do that?
I met Brendan in 2016 before I moved to LA.
How?
In passing at the comedy club.
Same type of story?
Well, I was on an earlier show and he was doing a later show, him and Brian, and then I just started chopping up with him, and I remember, you know, connecting with Brendan and his brother Jay a lot, you know, and Brian, like all of them. Like, yeah, it was just like such a fun talking that green room, and both of them, Brendan and Brian, were like, yo, hit us up if you're in LA. And I was like, oh, okay, hell yeah. And they were like, take our numbers. And I was like, oh shit. So they both gave me their
again,
numbers and
just
shit.
That relaxed
like,
attitude.
Yeah. And I was like, fuck, okay, you know. And this was just off based off of an authentic conversation.
Yeah.
And then and then, you know, I moved to LA, and then I think they just saw
that you're
that I was just doing
places.
Shit.
Yeah,
yeah. They just saw like, oh, this kid's active, he's like going for it.
Yeah.
And so I think they just Brendan was just just gave me a shot.
That's
so
crazy. And that was what led to
King of Sting first, and then
Fighter and the Kid. Do you enjoy doing a Fighter and the Kid?
Yeah, I enjoy. I mean, I just like it's crazy because, you know, like To see where I'm at, yes, it's a lot of fun, and it makes me want to, like, you know, like, it gets me excited for my own stuff, because it's like, oh, man, you know.
Can
like,
we talk about that, or is that still kind of, like, getting built up?
Damn it, my girlfriend.
Yeah, no, you're good.
Hold on. Sweetheart, I'm wrapping. Hello? Hello? Yeah, I'm wrapping up this podcast.
Why don't you give a shout out on the Steve Wiebe show?
All right, love you too. Bye.
Because, I mean, are we allowed to talk? I mean, do you have other podcasting plans? I don't know if that's you're
yeah, I haven't announced it yet. But yeah,
okay,
but like
okay,
it is.
But in
like
the future,
like, yeah.
In the future, look
yeah,
out for something that
yeah,
might
yeah,
happen.
Which I'm
in
pretty
the future.
Excited
okay,
for.
Good.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I get excited about it because it's gave me a solid springboard to be able to do my own stuff. It, like the platform that the Finer Kid has given me is really boosted me for my individual self.
Let's shout
really
out. Look, we shout out Brendan. Yeah.
Shout out to Brendan. Shout out Brian.
And shout out Theo.
Theo.
Because they're giving me a shot. You know, they're
yeah,
allowing
yeah.
me now to get
that's
on their platform.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
We got to give them a shout out.
Yeah.
Shout out to Brendan and Theo
yeah.
For helping us out. It's helping out, you know, because I'm doing another podcast with Jeremiah Watkins.
Yeah, which is a
yeah,
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 beautiful
yeah.
Like,
so,
it's like, yeah.
So that's helping. You know, me doing that, it's helping kind of like cross promote for
yeah.
all this stuff. You know,
yeah,
what I mean?
And it just, yeah, it just gives you a fucking boost to be able to go out there and kick ass.
Yeah, I hate saying platform.
I know, I know, I feel like an influencer.
But you know, but it's like you know, it is helping.
Yeah, yeah, it is helping, man. It's just yeah, I don't know. It's just fun, man. It's just cool to do the shit that I want to do.
Yeah, and then like now's the time. Is there? I want to plug all your stuff, like where people can find your music, comedy shows, upcoming shows, and stuff like that.
SpellAcy.com for like the comedy shows and stuff.
Spell it out for them.
SHAPELLACEY.com.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that's the same for Instagram.
I don't do Facebook.
Yeah, my merch is also on the website.
So definitely get a shirt off Chappelle there.
I'm trying to think of what else.
Buy a t-shirt.
I hate social media, so I only use
Instagram.
Go ahead. But it's the same as
Chappelle. You need to do it. Keep going.
I don't have Facebook or Twitter, so don't try to search for me on there.
The music.
The music. That's in the works.
Okay.
We're about to.
You gonna release
stuff.
It? Vinyl.
Yeah.
Vinyl.
Yeah. We're wrapping up these originals.
Can
that
we
we've
shout
been
out
writing.
The group name?
We don't have that yet. We don't have that yet. We just started playing.
You don't have the name.
No, not yet. I'm still thinking.
Are you brainstorming that?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, wait, hold up. Like, real quick. How many members?
5 of us. Joel. Joel's in it. You know Joel.
Joel Jimenez?
Yeah.
Oh, shout out to Joel.
Joel and Chris from Kill Tony Band and Roast Battle Band.
Yeah. And it's what kind of music? Would you describe it? Like punk?
Punk, yeah.
Eclectic or indie rock?
Punk, yeah, pretty much punk.
Yeah.
Punk, hardcore.
Are you guys open to names?
Yes.
Let me brainstorm something. For us. I think I could come up with something.
As long as it's not disgusting.
No. It's not. No, man. It ain't gonna be the booger brains or.
Yeah,
nothing,
I know,
you know,
right?
No, I'm not gonna do
like,
that.
I was like, if I do it, at least take someone serious.
No.
The booger brains.
Hey, dude, the boogers.
Yeah, the boogers,
catch
man.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No, but yeah, I get brainstorm.
Okay,
let me brainstorm on that.
All right, I'll let you brainstorm.
And then you have merch. Let's plug your merch again. Like,
I have a merch called.
You got beanies and sweatshirts. Like, what do you got on there?
It's called Love Is Tight. Is like my brand.
Love Is Tight. Love Is Tight. Get that today.
That everyone thinks I came up with that because of being in a relationship. I go, that's not how I fucking came up with it.
How long you been with your lady?
3 years. That's my first relationship ever.
Good for you. You're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah, I'm glad I started in my fucking 30s, you losers. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, everyone thinks that's how I created that Love Is Tight brand. But it was all because just being cool with my stepfather.
There you go.
And I was just like, Love Is Tight, man.
So get a shirt today.
Yeah, get a shirt.
You got. So what do you got? What do you offer on there? Is there beanies,
shirts,
sweatshirts?
Hats. I got socks coming out. We started doing some socks. Obviously, because it's getting a little, it's gonna start getting that cool season.
Mm-hmm.
We got some sweats. We got hoodies on there right now. Obviously, mm-hmm. But yeah, stuff I'm pretty stoked on. So yeah, we got some shit that's in the works that I'm really excited about.
And then they pay for shipping and handling,
something like that. Whatever you do,
just go to the website. Yeah, go to website. Say it one more time, and then I'm gonna do my announcement.
Yeah, ChappelleLacey.com. ChappelleLacey.com.
That time flew by.
I know, right?
You know, the thing is, I knew we would get along because just like knowing, like, because when Jesse was like, oh, he's from Arizona too. I go, what? He's from Arizona too? Because I had Deshaun.
Yeah. The week before. I love Deshaun's
dude, that's the man, amazing. Right? Laser flip master.
And
Cowtown, all that.
Nice guy.
He's amazing on a skateboard.
Amazing on a skateboard.
Powerful.
Nice guy.
Powerful.
I love that dude's
He's
energy.
Young, too, dude.
Yeah, 24.
Yeah, he's, dude, he's crushing.
Crushing.
He's crushing.
I know.
He's probably one of the best skateboarders to come out of Arizona. And there's been a lot of talent.
Yeah.
Dude, he almost made the Olympic team, bro.
I know. That's
he was
insane.
One spot away.
That's
one
what I'm
spot.
We coming out of Arizona, baby.
So watch out for Deshaun Jordan coming at you soon, man. Look out for his part, his toy machine part coming out soon.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks for tuning in to the Stevie Wiebe Show. We do have a website attached to the show. Go to StevieWiebeShow.com. As you can see here, this is my merch. I do everything handwritten, so I'm on top of all the orders, okay? Just know the orders will be a little delayed because of COVID and the court, whatever. So the shipping might be delayed. Go to YouTube.com/ScissorBros. Subscribe today. Those episodes drop every Friday. Go to StevieWiebeShow.com for any merch. Did I already say that? StevieWiebeBandcamp.com, Instagram/QUANGOU. And last but not least, we do have a P.O. box. If you want to send any packages or mail, send all your stuff. I have to go this week. I have to remind myself I have to go this week. Yeah, I always put it off. I went on Monday, dude, but it was a holiday.
I love how
it was a holiday.
I love your structure.
You do.
I love all of this.
Yeah. So send your packages to 1425 North Cherokee Avenue, P.O. Box 1391, L.A., California 90093. I want to talk about your tattoos next time. I just noticed have a Skate and Destroy one right there, too.
No, that's Search and Destroy.
Oh, Search and Destroy. Iggy
Pop,
but that's still cool.
PMA.
Yeah.
One Life, One Chance. That's a Rancid Tad.
Yeah.
That's a
Oasis. And then you got
some
on your neck, too?
Yeah, I have Misfits, Fiend, Skull, Black.
Hey, what do you think about this idea? And this is just, it hasn't been done before. I know a few tattoo artists I met on Instagram, but what if we do a podcast where I have the tattoo artist come, and because that way we could plug his tattoo shop.
And get a tattoo.
And then you know, the other person gets a free tattoo.
Like, you and I got tattoos?
Yeah.
I think that's a Scissor Bros thing.
No, he gave me this.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he did this one.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful scissor.
Yeah, he's a beautiful scissor.
Damn.
Yeah, it's a crane scissor. but what do you think? Like, either he could, because there's another.
And we both get tattoos?
Or whoever. It could be you getting a tattoo, and then I could be interviewing both of you, y'all, and then be like, okay, so, you know.
It's funny, because I don't do well with tattoos, but I have a lot of them.
Oh, so you wouldn't be able to talk?
I'd be like, oh fucking.
Oh, how about this? Like, okay, so I won't make you talk. You just sit there, you know, and then just try to get through it. I'll be interviewing the tattoo artist the whole time.
Yeah.
I'll be like, okay, so what do you do in Dresden? Okay, so you're working on the head. Okay, good. Yeah. Oh, so how do you get your lines so
Two
straight?
Of them didn't really hurt, but of the fucking 16 that I have.
Do you think people would tune into that at like a live tattoo?
Oh, hell yeah, they would tune in.
No, like a podcast format.
Yeah.
Got it. Let me think.
It'd actually be funny us getting tattoos, and I struggle with them.
Oh, you would get matching tattoos?
No, we don't have to get matching tattoos. I get something stupid. I don't know.
I would get a little flat. No, like a little flash tattoo.
This one.
No,
fucking
like
hurt
a
on my
like a little flash tattoo. Just like a dinker.
What is that?
Just like a little one. Just
a little one.
So little. It'll take
like
15 minutes.
Like I have this. Like,
yeah.
PMA,
but
yeah.
You're done.
Meanwhile, that fucking hurt.
Yeah.
I did not do well with the finger tattoo. PMA.
Ouch.
Yeah, that fucking son of a bitch.
It's sensitive there.
Yeah. I'm going in a couple weeks to my guy. He's doing a spider.
You do it on your chest?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to get some too.
I know.
I'm going to get another one.
I have a lot on my chest. Oddly enough, like the chest is like my favorite to get tattooed.
Should I do my chest next?
You don't have anything on your chest?
Neck, chest, all of it.
Do your chest.
Chest?
Yeah, get something cool.
Let me think about that.
Yeah, think about it.
Till next time. Thanks for tuning in.
Dude.
My buddy Skip is a trip, feeling blue like a crip. Framed for robbing a bank, letting loose from the hip. He really couldn't predict this grip was so full of angst. Him and Henry Woodward Peckers did a song and dance at bit. Oh, rodeo man in the West, you can. You're the best on the land. Bless the sands, do the bull with your hand. Don't skip, you can get that fucking bull, pull on that rope. Feeling stir crazy, maintaining against the grain, making me wanna get.
never end, sustained. I'm down for the count on the ground freight train. Living today, don't give it away, the peace and the praise, the rays. Shining it down to mightiest crowns, the finest of thrones delayed. Skippy's afraid, he feels betrayed, live this way, can deal with shade. His spade, he made the gray, displayed in a charade of pain. I am not a man, I am an animal, a male. I live by maritime, the law of water about to sail. When my mother had me, I slipped out of her canal. What you call a sailing ship is named after a female.
Holding proud.